This is Mike Evans with the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, and you're listening to Knockout Radio.
Hey, guys, this is the Wednesday edition of Knockout Radio. Randy has jumped off for the last hour. He's up in Nashville right now, getting on, heading to the airport. He just attended the Kevin Carter Make-A-Wish or Waiting on Wishes charity event, the 17th annual event up there. So he was on the fence on doing the show remotely from a phone in and didn't really want the quality to sound bad. But I told him it was better to be consistent and to at least get the first hour in, and then I'll try to fill in for the rest. So thank all you guys for bearing with us. Thank you for being a part of the Randy Regime at Knockout Radio. I know a lot of the Randy Regime members are assembling here in South Florida for the Rugged Maniac coming up on Saturday, April the 20th. Some of the guys
Let me jump in real quick, Matt. We do have a couple more entries for Saturday's Rugged Maniac. I think we have until Friday to sign people up. So two or three more people can join the Knockout Radio team, the Randy Regime, as we will be out there in Dade City running on Saturday.
That's incredible news. So if you want to get in, how do they contact you, Randy? What's the best way?
Book a face.
All right, book a face. Go on Facebook. Go to Knockout Radio or Randy Harris page and let them know you want to be a part of the Randy Regime and run the Rugged Maniac. Maybe get electrocuted. Maybe your foot will catch on fire like Henry Cejudo in the California Fire. He was telling the story in the interview about how he jumped to a safety and that his actual right foot actually caught on fire. Does it get any more real than that?
It doesn't get any more real than that. But now, did you make fun of him like you do on the air? Or you know, 'cause if you did, that shows I'm going to give you major props. If you did you say any of the sarcastic things that you've said before? Did you say it now when Henry Cejudo was in the car with him?
No. It was a professional interview. I was working. I was on the clock. I was still within the perimeter of Atlanta, Georgia, home of UFC 236, and I was still working for Knockout Radio.
I want to listen to the interview to see how professional you were. But UFC Fight Night is next Saturday. We already know about the change in the main event. Yep, Mike Perry is going to be down there. We anticipate him being on the show next Wednesday. So, I mean, that'll be cool. We don't have to worry about hockey talk anytime soon. The draft is next week, so we'll talk a little pre-draft next week. I'm trying to just throw a few things out to you that we'll be doing next week. As momentarily, we are waiting for, take a wild guess, and he's not late. I am not implying that this person is late. But who do you think we're waiting on so that we can leave to head to the airport?
Randy Couture.
No, Randy's staying. He's going to stay in Nashville for a couple of days and hang out with Big John McCarthy, who recently moved to the Nashville area. But we are waiting for the person who will be on the show next week, the Huntington Beach Fat Boy, Tito Ortiz.
Nice. So he's probably tired from walking after Tiger during the Masters.
I think he's just, working on the plan to extend his lead as the most guest time on Knockout Radio.
Oh, then we got to get a hold of Bader. Let him know he's losing his title.
Ryan's never had that title. He's never had that title. He's always been, just a couple behind. Because Tito got off to such a huge lead because he's been in the UFC, obviously, longer. He's been, on the show that many times more than when Ryan went on the Ultimate Fighter.
Who would be your interim champ for that title?
Oh, I'm sure it's Bader.
Okay.
Yeah, I'm sure Ryan is the interim.
And ironically,
they fought.
Yeah. Well, I sent you a picture of Henry Cejudo with the Jupiter bike, by the way. He saw it in the back seat of the car, and he was like, what is that? And I told him about the Jupiter bike. So I took a picture of it, sent it to you, just in case you want to send him one as well.
Well, we'll get to the social media aspect of Knockout Radio and Jupiter Bike and 8 Man Strong and Staff Zone later.
It's incredible.
Do you want to bore our listeners even more and talk about the Tampa Bay Rays and Major League Baseball, or should we just move on?
I mean, I just tagged you on Facebook in a Homer Simpson meme And it has a picture of Homer Simpson wearing a peeks into the shrubbery and the bushes, and he comes back out with a Rays shirt on. I think most people in Tampa have already taken their flags off their car. I think the gold bolt signs will start to come down today. This is definitely a blemish on our city. As Henry Cejudo said, T.J. Dillashaw's actions were a blemish on their sport.
Let me ask you a question. Let me jump in. Let me jump in and interrupt. Let me ask you. So for all of these fans, and fans is short for fanatic, all of these fans that have been on the Tampa Bay Lightning, I don't want to say bandwagon because they've been fans of the Tampa Bay Lightning for a long time. You know, I'm sure very few people a month ago have decided I'm now a Tampa Bay Lightning fan. So all of those Tampa Bay Lightning fans that have said this is the greatest team in Tampa Bay history, this is the greatest team in Lightning history, this is the greatest, this is the greatest, this is the greatest, wouldn't it show more kahunas to keep the flag up, to keep those banners still flying on your car as you're driving to show the support? Or are you okay with, because you lost, you now stink, and I'm not going to say the other four-letter word, and we want no part of you, but we'll be back next year at the beginning of the season?
Well, I think that's true in human nature. I think most people try to avoid conflict at all costs. I think most people try
Brown
to go.
The Cleveland Browns fans don't. Hold on a second. Yeah. The Cleveland Brown fans don't do that. They're out there week in and week out when they were awful. They'll be out there this season week in and week out when they're predicted to win the division. So, you know, don't say that it's human nature that once you lose, you dump on them and walk away.
Okay, well,
maybe
because
of the style that the Lightning lost.
Well, maybe because of Tampa's, it's a transient city. There's no real loyal home fan base anyway. Everybody's from somewhere else, usually up north. Where a place like Cleveland, you're diehard because that's your community, that's your culture, that's your history, and that's just tradition. So same thing with Lambeau and different areas. So, yeah, you're right. It's probably regional and based on geography more than anything. But most people
your
don't want to hear.
Right. Your statement is right about, you know, not necessarily from the Tampa Bay area, except if you were in Miami, because then all the people that moved to Miami are not from up north.
How many people moved from Tampa to Miami?
No, I'm saying most people that moved to Miami are moving north.
They're not coming
from the north.
Boys. I think Shane Grossman's over in Key West right now. He's at the southern tip of America, so he only has north to go. All right, Randy. All right, I guess he didn't like my joke, but it wasn't a joke. It's just facts. So I think Tampa, you know, I think now everybody's going to turn their attention to the Rays because they've had such a great start to the season. And, you know, the good thing is it's still the same color scheme, so they can still wear the same blue and still fit in well. So, I don't know. I hope the Rays aren't the same disappointment this year because I'll be honest, I've never lived in a championship city when a team won the greatest prize in their league. So I think it'd be exciting to be in that championship city. Randy, how many championships have you been in, Randy? How many cities have you lived in when they won a championship? It looks like I'm alone again. Looks like Randy's having some technical difficulties, but I actually grew up in Indiana, so growing up a Colts fan. I lived in Indianapolis for a while, and we were nothing. We had Jim Harbaugh and the Harbaugh comeback and the comeback kid, and you know we had some miracle seasons that got us into the playoffs, but nothing great. And then I left, moved to Denver, and they won. The Colts won the Super Bowl, and then I'm in Denver, but you know Elway had won with, you know, Terrell Davis and that era. You know, they had won before I got to the city. The Avalanche had won previously. So I was there, and then I sold my pizzeria and moved to St. Pete, Florida in 2007. And then the Rockies went to the World Series in 2007 in October. So I missed that whole run. So really, the only time I've ever really been close was when the Rays in 2008 went to the World Series against the Philadelphia Phillies, another local team, which kind of crazy from a fan perspective, because there's such a big, spring training down here that there's such a large Philly fan base that it really felt at times more like a Philadelphia home advantage than it was a Tampa Bay Ray home advantage in 2008. So I don't know. I'm hopeful that this season is good. I missed the Buccaneers in 02, obviously. So, I don't know. For those of you out there listening, what was your greatest championship season or city that you lived in? Was it, a certain place like a Yankees and in New York or a parade? What was it? Chime in if you want to, be a part of the show and you want to give your opinion. We'd love to hear it. Randy obviously is somewhere in Nashville getting ready to go to the airport. But I mentioned earlier about the Lightning and the upset. This is going to go down as the greatest upset in sports history, And so Sports Illustrated hasn't updated their new list, but the one that I see here, I'll start with number 10. They didn't even put Buster Douglas, Mike Tyson in the top 10. Can you believe that? I mean, they have it listed at number 11, Buster Douglas knockout of Mike Tyson. Says a 42-1 underdog against the unbeaten Iron Mike. Buster Douglas scored a knockout in the 10th round and the undisputed heavyweight title. That was in 1990. So that ranks at your number 11 on the Sports Illustrated Greatest Upsets in Sports History. Number 10, the Cincinnati Reds sweep the Oakland A's in 1990. Talk about a dynasty following the Athletics into the 1990 World Series. The Reds ended that notion by sweeping Oakland and outscoring the A's 22-8. That's back when Chris Sabo and his Cincinnati comrades swept the A's in Red October. Number nine on the list, the Denver Nuggets defeating the Seattle Supersonics in 1994. They barely finished the season 500, 42-40 record. The Nuggets, fueled by Dikembe Mutombo, defeated top-seeded Seattle in overtime of Game 5 to win the series. It was the first time in history that an eighth seed defeated a number one seed, Seattle. Led by Gary Payton, Sean Kemp, and plagued by Mutombo, whose 31 blocks set a record for a five-game series. Coming in, number eight, the Rulon Gardner defeats Alexander Karelin in 2000. Karelin, the three-time defending champion in Greco-Roman wrestling, and was on a 13-year win streak. Gardner, an Olympic novice, wasn't even expected to contend for a medal, but the 29-year-old from Wyoming stunned the Russian 1-0 in overtime of the 286-pound final. Coming in number seven, all you Patriots fans, get out there. New England Patriots defeat the St. Louis Rams 2002. While St. Louis piled up a 427 yards of offense, the 14-point favorites held on only one lead, 3-0. Whoa, I read that right? The 14-point favorites held on only one lead, 3-0. And the Patriots dynasty was born as Tom Brady set up Adam Vinatieri's 48-yard game-winning field goal in Super Bowl 36. Number six, the Golden State Warriors defeat the Dallas Mavericks 2007. Pick a storyline. This series had it all. Golden State becoming the first number eight seed to beat a number one in a seven-game series. Coach Don Nelson getting revenge on his former team and bitter enemy. Mavericks owner Mark Cuban. The Warriors winning their first playoff series in 16 series. Baron Davis on a gimpy hamstring, pulling a Wilson Reed to score 20 points in Game 6 clincher. Number five. These are the Sports Illustrated Greatest Upsets in Sports History. According to Sports Illustrated, number five was Appalachian State defeats Michigan 2007. Ranked number 5 entering the season, Michigan had a national championship aspirations. But Appalachian State had different plans. Led by a dynamic QB, Armonte Edwards, and speedy wide receiver Dexter Jackson, the Mountaineers became the first Division I AA team to beat a ranked Division I-A team, defeating the Wolverines 34-32. According to Sports Illustrated, number 4 on the rank of greatest upsets in sports history was New York Giants defeat the New England Patriots 2008. One of the biggest underdogs in Super Bowl history. The New York Giants made some history of their own in Super Bowl 42, upsetting the previously undefeated New England Patriots with a pair of touchdowns in the fourth quarter. The clincher with 35 seconds left in the game. The victory capped an immortal run. Improbable run of 11 straight road victories by the Giants, including 4 straight in the playoffs. Number 3, Robin Soderling defeats Rafael Nadal in 2009. For 31 matches during his debut in May 23rd in 2005, Nadal never truly was challenged, much less defeated at the French Open, allowing him to win 4 consecutive titles and close in on becoming the first player in history with 5 in a row until the fourth round of the 2009 French Open, when the 23rd seed, Soderling, a 24-year-old from Sweden who had never won a match as a third-round match at any tournament before this one, defeated Nadal 6-2, 6-7, 2-7, 6-4, 7-6, 7-2. Soderling finished with 61 winners, 28 more than Nadal. Number 2 on the Sports Illustrated greatest upsets in sports history, Roberta Vinci defeats Serena Williams in 2015. Serena Williams was attempting to become the first player since Steffi Graf in 1998 to complete the calendar Grand Slam, the number 1 ranked player in the world, to lose to unseeded Roberta Vinci in the 6-4. It was the first Grand Slam in her last 5 appearances that Williams had lost. And number 1, rounding out the top 10 of the Sports Illustrated greatest upsets in sports history, Holly Holm defeating Ronda Rousey in 2015. Prior to UFC 193, Ronda Rousey seemed unstoppable. Her past 3 fights lasted 34, 16, and 14 seconds as she became a superstar outside the octagon. But she was no match for the former champion boxer and underdog Holly Holm, who knocked her out in the second round after a vicious kick to the neck. So my question to you, Tampa Bay sports fans, you've heard the list. I read the history. You know what's there. Where does this meltdown of the Tampa Bay Lightning, the 2019 playoffs, getting swept by the Columbus Blue Jackets, where does this fall into the greatest upsets in sports history? A 62-game winner tied for the season's highest win total, tying the 1995-96 Detroit Red Wings, President Cup winner, a star-studded lines. You got stars all over the ice for the Lightning. Yeah, an owner in the Vinick that will spend the top dollar to bring in the best of the best to give them the best chance to win. You got a coach in Cooper who's a great coach by all counts that everybody, you know, high praises and contract extensions so where does this fall? Where do you rank this? If you're ranking this in your top 10 of all time, where does this season and what happened and what occurred last night ending the 2019 Stanley Cup hopes of the Tampa Bay Lightning? We want to know. So chime in. We'll take a short little break. Let you guys figure out where you want to rank them. And when we come back, we'll start looking ahead to UFC coming up in 2 weeks on the 27th down in Sunrise, Florida for Fight Night. This is Knockout Radio, brought to you by 8 Man Strong and the Staff Zone.
This is the Tan Talk Radio Network.
What's up, guys? It's Justin the Highlight Gaethje, and you're about to get KO'd by Knockout Radio.
8-Man Strong is not simply about the biggest or strongest. It's about those who have survived true lows, suffered, faced demons real or in their heads, and are fighting to come back against it all. If you live with a passion for greatness and strength and resilience towards all obstacles that may attempt to derail you, if you are bold and aggressive in the pursuit of the things you want in life, if you are meant to overcome everything that stands in your path of reaching your goals, then you are 8-Man Strong.
What were you doing 10 years ago? For me, I founded the Tour de Pizza, Tampa Bay's only cycling-themed pizzeria, where we combine gourmet pizza with an active lifestyle. Home of the world-famous pizza diet? At Tour de Pizza, we truly have a pizza for everybody. Classic New York style, Chicago deep dish, whole wheat low carb, flaxseed millet grain free, and cauliflower crust to name a few. Proudly serving the greater St. Petersburg area for the past decade and running. Two locations, one great pizza, that's Tour de Pizza.
The Rugged Maniac returns to the Tampa Bay area on April 20th, and we hope you will join the Randy regime as we run the 25 epic obstacles from fire jumps, water slides, trampolines, underground tunnels, and much more in a 3-mile course ending with beer and music. Register today at ruggedmaniac.com. Pick your race time and shirt size, and then get ready for the best time you've ever had. This is the Rugged Maniac 2019.
You're hungry. Where do you go to eat?
Berg Sports Bar and Grill.
You want to have a drink? Where do you go?
Berg Sports Bar and Grill.
Having a get-together with the guys from the softball team? Where do you do it?
That's right, Berg Sports Bar and Grill.
Located at 1320 Central Avenue, St. Petersburg, right across from Tropicana Field, Berg's is the best place to take the whole family for food and fun. Going to a Rays game? Have dinner before the game at Berg's, and after the Rays win, come and celebrate with all your friends at Berg's, right across from the Trop. So come down and see Berg and the whole gang at Berg Sports Bar and Grill.
Ferg Sports Bar and Grill.
Construction companies always face hiring challenges. Do you need temporary help on your project? Or maybe you want a true partner for all of your staffing needs? StaffZone is construction staffing excellence, providing both skilled and general labor positions. And we want to work for you. For all of your construction staffing needs, call us at 877-247-ZONE or visit us online at thestaffzone.com to find your local branch. Our staffing professionals are eager and ready to earn your business. That's 877-247-ZONE.
Since our first store opened in 1969 to our latest acquisition, Mr. Car Wash has always centered on people and bringing them the best service and shine in the car wash industry.
Through continuous research and development, Mr. Car Wash champions the newest technology and services to make your car wash experience better for your vehicle and the environment. With locations from sea to shining sea, go to MrCarWash.com for more details.
Hey guys, I'm Chase Elliott, and you're listening to Knockout Radio.
Hey guys, we are back. This is the Wednesday edition of Knockout Radio. Every Wednesday, live from 2 to 4, right here on Tan Talk, 1340 AM and 106.1 FM. You can hear us later on. We stream it back out to all the other formats later on in the day, so it's just an amazing platform to be on, to be on FCC regulation, because nowadays everybody has a voice, everybody's got a smartphone, everybody has a microphone, but very few are privileged enough to have FCC backing and voice and reach. So kudos to Randy for the career that he built in broadcast radio. I'm honored to be a part of that. And but before we move on to the UFC fight night down in Sunrise, Florida, just want to go back and touch on the Tiger Woods this week. You know, a guy, we talk about how, you know, the Tampa Bay Lightning collapsed, right? How they just fell apart. They melted down. You know, it's kind of like which is a bigger meltdown, the Notre Dame Cathedral catching fire and burning down, or this year's Tampa Bay Lightning. You know, it's kind of like which one melted down more. Obviously one's physical, one I think was probably more mental. They either were tired at the end of the season and gave up, or just were getting outplayed and beat to the punch and didn't have a way to respond, didn't have that adversity to come back from, that fire from within, and how to get back up once you're knocked down, right? It's kind of like Rocky. You know, that's Randy's favorite, you know, character of all time, favorite movie of all time. And the whole premise behind Rocky is like when you're down and out and defeated, it's that fight from within to get back up and, you know, get down, knocked down seven times and stand up eight. So, you know, look what Tiger Woods just did for the world to see. You know, he was the king. He was untouchable. The GOAT, you know, it had everything. Had the model wife and the perfect family and the accolades and the championships and the successes of the world, everything. And got torn down from poor decisions, from the sex scandals and from the media and from his sponsors. And when everybody turned their back, you know, injuries plagued him. And then he turned to pills and got a DUI and got, you know, suspected of driving under the influence of narcotics. And, you know, when this guy was at his rock bottom, people turned their back on him, you know. And then, like the Phoenix, he rose from the ashes and took the fifth title, his fifth Masters championship on Sunday. I mean, if you're not inspired by that, you know, I don't know what you're doing with your life, but if you're not inspired by that, it's incredible. It's an incredible story. And you can say whatever you want personally about his personal actions and what he did in the past, but to come from that and to overcome that and to celebrate on the world stage on Sunday, you know, I know it's funny because Randy, you know, Randy's one of those funny guys. Randy doesn't like to tell me anything. He likes to see if I'm in or if I'm out before he tells me what we're going to do. So most of the stuff that we do, I have no, like, heads up on. I don't get a chance to prepare. I don't get a chance to plan. Sometimes he'll give me an inclination of what it is, and I'll dress the part. So when I got a chance to go out and be there for the John McEnroe charity event at Innsbruck last week, you know, I dressed in my tennis gear ahead of time just in case I got a chance to swing some clubs with Johnny Mack, one of my childhood idols, you know, growing up as a kid who played tennis, who grew up playing tournaments as a kid, who was the number one varsity seed for my high school 4 years in a row. Even now as an adult, I play in the USTA in the men's league, went undefeated last season. So it's a sport that A, I'm passionate about, and B, it's one of those things where he was the GOAT. And I went dressed to impress and ready to swing some clubs. And, you know, Randy was like, "What are you wearing?" And I was like, I'm prepared, man. I'm ready. I'm ready to go crush it with some Johnny Mack. Let overhead smash it. So, you know, but that's the thing. So Randy never tells me nothing, you know. And so Saturday night, he sends me a message like, "Hey, want to go have dinner with Tito Ortiz at the Masters tomorrow night?" And I'm like, "What?" I was like, "I got to go back to Tampa. I got my wife's birthday, man. It's her 38th birthday. I got to get back." So I passed. And so I'm driving home, and I'm listening to the radio, and I'm listening to the Masters, and I'm driving through tornadoes. If you're in, you know, southern Georgia, you know Sunday was a crazy day. And in between weather alerts and news break-ins, I was listening to Tiger Woods regain his reign on top, his validation, his redemption party. And it was incredible to see. I wish I would have stayed the one extra day. I wish I would have taken Randy's advice and just stayed one more night and gone to be there for this historic moment, have dinner with a UFC legend, MMA combat legend in Tito Ortiz. But you know what? Family is important to me, and my wife's birthday was important to me, and coming home to my babies were important to me. But this history right here that you just watched, it's truly remarkable, and I'm grateful. I'm grateful to see it, and you know, and I think you see it in a lot of sport. You do. You see it with you know, John Jones, you know, and the steroid scandal, and coming back to being the champ. And yeah, I've seen it firsthand with my friend Terry. You know, the world knows him as Hulk Hogan, you know, but Terry made some poor choices. You know, Terry's had a turmoil in his personal life that bled into the media and who he is and how people perceive him. And for the last 2 or 3 years, you know, Terry and I've developed a really strong relationship, and he's been a great mentor. He's really helped me out tremendously, and I don't know if I'll ever be able to repay him for the knowledge and the advice he's given me. Our friendship with Bushwhacker Luke is well documented. Obviously, Brutus the Barber Beefcake just went to the WWE or the WWF Hall of Fame about 2 weeks ago in New York. So, you know, these guys are still here, and I'm still able to connect with them and on a personal level because of my relationship with Terry. But I was there this summer last year when the WWE reinstated Terry Bollea, otherwise known as Hulk Hogan, to restore and to redeem himself to the sport that he built up, to the legacy that he left behind, to the generation or generations that he carried and impacted with his character and his brand of Hulk Hogan and Hulkamania. So I've seen Terry's validation. I've seen his glory come back. I've seen that pride in his smile and in his heart and his demeanor of getting reinstated into having a good standing with the same organization that made him who he was, right? That made him a global brand for wrestling, an ambassador to the sport. We saw that same thing happen with Tiger Woods on Sunday. The same sport that built him up, that made him the king. That also tore him down when he was low, when kicked him when he was down. And it was really, really, really nice to see him regain that Masters Championship. And I think it's what legends are made of. You know, I think, you know, I was in Indiana growing up, and, you know, Bobby Knight was an angry individual, throwing chairs and acting a fool. You know, you wouldn't see, you know, coaches today doing that kind of antics now. They might do it once and get suspended or ejected for a game or a suspension for a while. But that was standard practice for him. That's how he coached. That's how he managed. That's how he was effective in breaking through and getting the most out of his players. And even when there was like hush-hush secrets like of his abuse and his choking of students and, you know, physically assaulting people, the boosters and the community and the NCAA, you know, everybody kind of turned a blind eye because he was still a champion, still winning championships. He was still able to put out the best teams and be on the top. But as soon as he stopped winning in March Madness, as soon as he stopped winning in the Big Ten championships, as soon as they started going to the NIT, you know, then all of a sudden, his demeanor and his actions now had a consequence. So if you're a young kid out there, you know, and these are your role models, you're looking up to them, you know, it's sad to say, but winning cures all bad emotions, right? It's like, what have you done for me lately? And are you winning? Because if you're winning, people will give you a second chance, you know, and you're going to see it. You're going to see it with Tiger. You're going to see it with endorsements. Watch to see how many people jump back on Tiger Woods' bandwagon now that he's at the top. You're going to see it. You know, and I don't know. I don't have a list of all the companies that dropped him. I don't know who dropped him, if it was Rolex or Tag Heuer. Or, you know, I don't have a list from back when his scandal came out and he lost everything, his family, his wife, his reputation, his sponsors, his, you know, his health, his injuries. Pay attention. Just watch. See what kind of people come out now that he's a winner again and want to slap their name and their logo on his chest, right? Slap it on his back. And only he will know which ones are true friends and which ones are loyal. And unfortunately in life, it's kind of bleeds over into how we really live, right? I mean, as long as you're in good standing and good graces, you know, it's easy to be adored and loved and cherished. But what happens if you make a mistake? You know, like, who's really going to be for there? Just your family, your parents, because it's biological, because, you know, your mother gave birth to you. You know, like, you know, how great is it that you actually get to see real life played out through sport? And I hope a lot of people learn from this. I think a lot of people will learn from this. I know I learned from this. And like I said, redemption is a beautiful, beautiful thing. And if you've made mistakes in your past and you don't know how to correct them, you don't know how to fix them, be successful. Cover it up with success. Nothing is better than being a winner and being successful in whatever it is you do, whether it's sales, whether it's coaching, whether it's athletics. Just win. Get back to that John Jones championship spot. Get back to the WWE, you know, giving the eulogy for his friend Mean Gene Okerlund, getting back into the ring to hear the Hulkamaniacs go wow one last time. Get back to the 18th hole at the Masters in your Sunday red and lay it all on the line to wait for everybody to go from a silent golf clap where you could hear a pin drop of people with anticipation to that sweet sound of success. You can turn it around. Don't let your past define you. Don't let it define who you are. What you did doesn't mean who you are today. If you've learned anything this week in sports, you know that you can overcome your past and become a champion once again, right? And that's really what life is about. And that's what makes sports so great. You know, there are guys that lost this week at UFC 236. They got beat. They lost. They did it publicly, right? And they hang their head on that, right? But a true champion goes back to the drawing board, makes adjustments. What did I learn? What did I make mistakes? What can I work on? You know, and I got a chance to drive Henry Cejudo to the airport. You know, we talked about that earlier, and it was because of Randy's acknowledgement and his reputation that it came from a credible source that Henry trusted me to do so. And so we're talking about the fights, and he was like, man, what a bloodbath that was, right? But he said he would have rather see a fight with John Jones, a true martial artist, a mixed martial artist. You know, if you watch the Gastelum fight and the title fight, Holloway versus Poirier, you just saw two guys striking. It was rock'em sock'em robots, and it was like which one was going to go down first, and it was a battle of wills and determination and grit and true warriors just leaving it all on the line. But it really wasn't a great display of mixed martial arts. It just wasn't. You know, it was a strike fest. It was reminiscent of Forrest Griffin and Stephen Bonner. A very, very similar in style. It was a bloody, you know, war, fight back and forth. Either person could have won at any point. Very similar to the Justin Gaethje Poirier fight. Very similar. Either one of those guys could have won with one of those strikes, you know, but that doesn't tend to lead to a longevity in this sport. You know, like it's like running backs in the NFL, you know, like you go 3 yards on a pile of dust, you know, you tend to have a short career. You know, it's the guys that have the elusiveness that can kind of, you know, avoid the big hits and you know, gives them a chance to have a longer career than just 2.5 seasons as the average is in the NFL. Now, same thing in the martial art world. You know, some of these guys, they can't go to war every single time like this. You know, they won't have a long career if they do. But that's kind of the thing. You know, like, it wasn't really a great MMA display, right? So, what do you guys like? I mean, if you guys are fans of the sport, obviously the Randy regime's listening right now. I'm sure Shane's somewhere on a cruise ship spinning his head right now. But, you know, what do you want to see? You want to see total domination and a quick victory? You know, some of Ronda Rousey's like greatest, fights were under 26 seconds. Shannon Rich, you know, bare knuckle boxing, he won in 26 seconds in the international competition with the bare knuckle boxing championships, down in Mexico and Cancun. So, you know, do you want to see a quick 26 second, you know, fight that just it's over, or do you like the 5 round, you know, back and forth slugfest, or would you rather see a 3 round where both guys are using jiu-jitsu and they're using Muay Thai and they're using the cage control and to, you know, put on a true mixed martial arts demonstration. You know, so I'm curious. I'm curious on what the fan base thinks. Maybe Shane, if you could put out a poll, some kind of, a poll to where people could vote Which is their preference when they watch a fight? Like, what do they really want to see? They want to see the person they're rooting for win easily and in under a minute. A good back and forth 3-rounder utilizing all disciplines of martial arts, or like a 5-round rock'em sock'em robot, you know, war where everybody's just bloodied up at the end and lay it all on the lawn. Oh, what do you think, Ed? Are you there in the studio?
What do you want?
Randy?
What do you want? What are you drowning?
Are you still on? No, I'm not drowning. I'm just talking.
You're drowning.
I'm not drowning. I'm not drowning. What are you talking about? I was asking a poll question. I created a poll.
What's the poll question? I'm now at the airport, so I can talk to you for a couple minutes.
All right, so the poll question was, I was talking about, you know, the difference between, you know, the UFC, you know, mixed martial arts in general. You have some fights that go out, run in the middle of the octagon, and then, you know, it's over in 26 seconds, and you know, it's a domination of sorts. Then you have, you know, a 3-round, you know, back and forth where, you know, both are utilizing all disciplines of martial arts, like, you know, jiu-jitsu and Muay Thai and cage control and striking, and it truly is a mixed martial art display. And then you have the rock'em sock'em robot like we just saw on Saturday night, where Henry Cejudo, in the car ride, said that he would rather see John Jones fighting because he's a true martial artist instead of the co-main and the main event of 236, because all they did really was strike. That there wasn't really a mixed martial art component to either one of those bloodbaths, as he called it. So my poll question was...
Hold on. Henry Cejudo really say that?
He did. Yeah. He did.
What other... We haven't seen many disciplines from John Jones. We haven't seen much of a ground game from John Jones. You know, we've seen a striking. We've seen a stand-up. I mean, I understand what he's saying. And the only other thing that I'll throw in that is... Of a 3-round fight, of a 5-round fight, is it a close action pack, or is it a, no disrespect intended, but a GSP fight? You know, is it a Khabib fight? Is it, you know, so what kind of action are you talking about when you're talking about a 3-round to 5-round? Because normally, I want to see Tank Abbott. Tank Abbott, to me, is one of my favorite fighters to ever watch fight. And that's because the guy came in, he threw for about 14 seconds, he got tired, and somebody then got knocked out.
Right. So you're talking about what was the guy, the Black Beast? You're talking about the Black Beast? you like that style?
If the name fits, wear it. But no, I don't like his style, because his style isn't a 30-second or 45-second fight. His is he circles, he does some things, he waits to throw that one bomb that lasts. You know, that gets thrown with 5 seconds left, you know, in the fight. That's his style. All right, before we run out of time, I am coming to you live now from the National Airport. We are here. I don't want to get us too far off of schedule. So let's hit this last break, and then we'll come back and pretty much converse on anything that you want to talk about. This is Knockout Radio, brought to you by 8 Man Strong and Sound.
This is the Tan Talk Radio Network.
Hey, this is Chef Robert Irvine, highest rated show on the Food Network. Woo! And you're listening to Knockout Radio.
8-Man Strong is not simply about the biggest or strongest. It's about those who have survived true lows, suffered, faced demons real or in their heads, and are fighting to come back against it all. If you live with a passion for greatness and strength and resilience towards all obstacles that may attempt to derail you, if you're bold and aggressive in the pursuit of the things you want in life, if you are meant to overcome everything that stands in your path of reaching your goals, then you are 8-Man Strong.
What were you doing 10 years ago? For me, I founded the Tour de Pizza, Tampa Bay's only cycling-themed pizzeria, where we combine gourmet pizza with an active lifestyle. Home of the world-famous pizza diet? At Tour de Pizza, we truly have a pizza for everybody. classic New York style, Chicago deep dish, whole wheat low carb, flaxseed millet grain free, and cauliflower crust to name a few. Proudly serving the greater St. Petersburg area for the past decade and running. Two locations, one great pizza, that's Tour de Pizza.
The Rugged Maniac returns to the Tampa Bay area on April 20th, and we hope you will join the Randy regime as we run the 25 epic obstacles from fire jumps, water slides, trampolines, underground tunnels, and much more in a three-mile course ending with beer and music. Register today at ruggedmaniac.com. Pick your race time and shirt size, and then get ready for the best time you've ever had. This is the Rugged Maniac 2019.
Got bills? Looking for work? But nobody is hiring. StaffZone is. As the leading provider of commercial construction, industrial, and special event staffing throughout the Southeast and Texas, StaffZone has plenty of work to go around, and they need you now. Don't wait. Go now to www.thestaffzone.com and find a branch closest to you. Work today, get paid today. That's the StaffZone way.
Hey, what's going on, guys? Reggie Bush, and you're listening to Knockout Radio.
All right, we are back. 10 and a half minutes left of this particular program. Matt coming to you live from Tour de Pizza. Duh. And I'm coming to you live now from the Nashville airport as we are getting ready to fly home and prepare for not only next week's show from Fort Lauderdale, but should I make the announcement now, Matthew?
Yeah, go ahead.
I will be broadcasting from London, England in October. When the Tampa Bay Buccaneers take on the Carolina Panthers in London, we will go live from London.
Wow.
Did I say we? Exciting. I meant me, not we. I'm sorry.
What? There's no I in team, buddy. There's no I in team.
I understand that. You'll be holding the fort down at Tour de Pizza, and I will be broadcasting live from London 1 week and Dublin the other.
All right. So what do I got to do to get on that flight? What do I got to do to, how do I get my credentials for that?
Well, it's nothing to do with credentials. I'm going on vacation around the Buccaneer-Panther game, and I'm looking forward to it. So it's going to be a little family thing. My sister and brother-in-law live in Charlotte, so they're going to go because of the Panthers. I'm going to go to cover the Bucs game, and it's going to be good stuff. So looking forward to that.
I'll connect with Walt Harris, the best Harris ever. Maybe we'll meet you on your Harris family vacation.
Yeah, well, let's be honest. Neither one of you are invited.
All right, fine.
Just say it. What else, if anything, I have not seen the schedule. Have you seen the schedule, and did anything stick out to you about, we'll start with the Buccaneers schedule?
I have not looked at the Buccaneers schedule. I have no idea. Zero.
Okay. Well, good prep work.
I'm looking forward to the Jacare fight down in Sunrise, Florida. You know, I'm excited about it. And I actually had a question. I want to bring up a comment for you that I noticed from UFC 236 and get your take on it. So I'm a martial art guy. I know about martial arts.
Hold on a second. I need to chuckle at that. You're a mixed martial artist.
No. I'm a martial artist. I didn't say mixed. I said martial artist.
You're not even an artist.
I just do Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu. I do a little bit of boxing. That's about it.
I'm not even sure you can spell those words, not alone two of them.
but here's what I do know. I don't have to be real smart to know this part. Like in every martial art school, dojo or a place that I've ever trained, the number one rule of combat sport is never walk with street shoes on the mat because rocks, sticks, debris gets onto the mat, and when you're grappling or on the ground, it can get into your eye and cut your eye. So why at this UFC fight at the highest stage, the fighters are fighting in the octagon, and at every break when all the homies run in with the water and the buckets and the coaches, everybody's got their street shoes on, just tracking in all this crap from the outside of the arena. You know, like why don't they
the
do, but why why don't they correct that to protect these athletes? I mean, if the NFL won't let you hit a quarterback because of concussions, and it's all about the athlete's safety, why wouldn't these guys at the highest level, when it's basic to every dojo I've ever been to in Brazil, here, no matter where I'm at, why wouldn't that be a standard operating practice, just like the Star Spangled Banner at the beginning of any sport competition?
Well, first of all, the Star Spangled Banner, the national anthem, is not at the start of every sporting event. As you witnessed Saturday, it's not at UFC. In fact, you know, when we do the World Class Fight League and when the RFC used to be around, and a rumor is that they will be back, you know, they played it. But we had a heated discussion about that with some people, you know, here in Nashville, one being at breakfast yesterday at a Biscuit Love. And I do want to throw some major love to Biscuit Love. 50% discount to all military. Not bad.
That's an incredible discount. That's amazing.
But I agree with you. I mean, I've noticed it numerous times, you know, when they go in to sing the national anthem and they're in their spiked heels and, you know, after a fight and the family goes in and, you know, it only has to happen one time for something major to happen. And then hopefully they'll change.
Yeah, I mean, it's a shame because it just seems like so obvious from anybody that's ever steps foot on a mat of any kind of competition, whether it's wrestling or taekwondo or karate or jiu-jitsu. It's just the basic fundamental of, you know, respect the mat. Respect the martial art, respect the discipline, and protect the fighters at all costs. And I feel like there's a big void there. And it's, I'd like to see a change. I'd like to see that change.
I think it's respect the process. Oh, that's a different sport. I'm sorry. That was the Sixers. Wake up.
Okay.
Sleeping on me?
I didn't know about the Sixers. I don't watch the Sixers.
You took a quick little nap.
All right.
Oh, what? So, what are you saying? Dead air's off.
You ready to go down to Sunrise next Wednesday? Are you excited about Media Day?
No, I'm not excited. It's my job.
That's
true. You know, and I don't mean that, you know, in a derogatory way. I don't get excited. I don't get – it's what I do. We'll go down there. We'll get some athletes on the show next Wednesday. We'll go to Media Day possibly on Thursday. Oh, I did forget to bring this up. Spoke to one of the greatest Tampa Bay Buccaneer quarterbacks of all time last night. Trent Dilfer, yep. And I told Trent Dilfer. And I know Mark doesn't listen to the show because he's working selling Harley, but I told him the Mark Gunther story, and he got a little emotional on it. It was kind of cool.
I don't know the story.
Well, and maybe we'll talk about it next week. I'm not sure how much time. I know we're getting close. I know we are basically at the end of this program.
We are.
So anything final you want to say before we check out?
No, it was an amazing week. I had a great time at UFC 236. And I look forward to, you know, seeing what Platinum Mike Perry has to say in Sunrise, Florida next week. He's always an entertaining guest, and see if he can top his liner from the UFC 25th anniversary show.
I'm not sure that is possible, but Mike Perry is all platinum, and that's really all that matters. So, all right, so we don't have much hockey to talk about, as that is now over. I cannot believe the Orlando Magic in the NBA playoffs. We didn't talk much about that. We'll do that next week. Working on a couple really cool giveaways, Jupiter Bike being part of that, a lot of cool announcements. All of that will go down next Wednesday, live from Sunrise, from UFC down there. Quite a few characters on the card, and we'll discuss all that next Wednesday. Coming to you live, we have come to you live from the Nashville Airport. This is Knockout Radio, brought to you by 8 Man Strong and Staff Zone. Hit me up on Twitter, at Knockout Radio.
At Mickey Pizza Man 1.
See everybody next week.
See ya.
I took her home. My place, watching every move on her face. She said, look, what's your game?
8 Man Strong is not simply about the biggest or strongest. It's about those who have survived true lows, suffered, faced demons real or in their heads, and are fighting to come back against it all. If you live with a passion for greatness and strength and resilience towards all obstacles that may attempt to derail you, if you are bold and aggressive in the pursuit of the things you want in life, if you are meant to overcome everything that stands in your path of reaching your goals, then you are 8-Man Strong.
Construction companies always face hiring challenges. Do you need temporary help on your project? Or maybe you want a true partner for all of your staffing needs? StaffZone is construction staffing excellence, providing both skilled and general labor positions. And we want to work for you. For all of your construction staffing needs, call us at 877-247-ZONE or visit us online at thestaffzone.com to find your local branch. Our staffing professionals are eager and ready to earn your business. That's 877-247-ZONE.
What were you doing 10 years ago? For me, I founded the Tour de Pizza, Tampa Bay's only cycling-themed pizzeria, where we combine gourmet pizza with an active lifestyle. Home of the world-famous pizza diet? At Tour de Pizza, we truly have a pizza for everybody. Classic New York style, Chicago deep dish, whole wheat low carb, flaxseed millet grain-free, and cauliflower crust, to name a few. Proudly serving the greater St. Petersburg area for the past decade and running. Two locations, one great pizza, that's Tour de Pizza.
WTAN, Clearwater.
FM 106.1.
WDCF, Dade City.
FM 102.3.
WZHR, Zephyr Hills.
FM 104.3.
Listen.